you a friend. The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Here we are, on the doorstep of Thanksgiving, a uniquely American holiday, the kickoff of the holiday season. Thanksgiving used to be a really big deal. Now it seems to be just a meaningless interstitial sandwich between meaningless Halloween and meaningless Black Friday. How did this happen? Can it be reversed? Who knows? How many people know that this one is America's 400th Thanksgiving? I didn't, until I checked. The fact that nobody knows or cares that this is the 400th anniversary of America's first holiday, well, that is troubling, not a good augur. Everyone knew when the bicentennial happened in 1976. Will people care about the tricentennial in 2076? Will America still be a nation by then? Other countries around the world cling to and treasure their cultures and traditions and achievements. Only America does everything it can to debase and erase ours. How many of our 330 million citizens have even a foggy notion of who the pilgrims were and how utterly amazing they were? All people know is that they wore big hats and had buckles on their shoes. The reasons they came to America are also the pillars of this very podcast. One, they took no shit. Two, every one of them was a confirmed Lutva. That's a leave us the fuck alone. They were fleeing ASTCOs. That's asshole seeking to control others. At that time, in the 15th century, commies did not exist. Neither did Democrats nor Republicans, which is why those words and those parties are just fabricated current names for the elemental primordial makeup of people. Lutvas, who are good, and ASTCOs, who are assholes. Those pilgrim Lutvas were relentlessly hassled and persecuted in England because they refused to participate in the state approved religion. That sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it? Pope Fauci and Emperor Joey demanding you accept their sacraments. In less than 2 years, America has gone from take a knee to take a needle. Whatever could be next? So the pilgrims, they voted with their feet. Split for the Netherlands, but after some time they knew they needed a truly fresh start and they headed west to the New World. They were not wealthy people, so they cut a deal with some investors. The company would stake them to the voyage and supplies to found a settlement. And as payment, the pilgrims had to kick back a steady stream of whatever they could eke out of their new home, fish and meat and furs and so on. That deal would last 7 years. After which the pilgrims, then they could divide what they had built among themselves. That's hardly a sweetheart deal, but that's capitalism. Maybe they needed a good agent. Believe it or not, the Mayflower ship was rented. It took them 66 days to cross the Atlantic, and when they arrived here, it was brutal from jump. New England winters were a lot tougher than those in Western Europe. 102 people stepped off that ship in December of 1620. A year later, only 52 of them were alive. A 49% survival rate. Wow, that's even worse than the China virus. Their angel investors didn't send them a single stimulus check. Not even a bag of limes to help with the scurvy. And the company crew soon sailed the Mayflower back to Europe. The now marooned settlers made friends with some very cool Indians who helped them get through that first winter. And by the autumn harvest, They had managed to not only keep it together, they had a big surplus of everything, especially turkey. How'd that happen? With balls and a work ethic. That's how. So they threw a party, a feast, and they invited 90 of their closest new friends who were all Wampanoag Indians. Hey, that sounds like diversity, doesn't it? Yeah, the real McCoy, born of people teaming up out of friendship and gratitude, not because they were forced to by social engineers. And that party wasn't a leisurely afternoon dinner like some of us are about to enjoy. It was a 3-day blowout. It must have been fantastic. George Washington declared the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day, and much later, Abe Lincoln, presiding over a nation tearing itself apart, well, he thought it might be a good idea to make Thanksgiving an official holiday, something that everyone could celebrate and get behind. And so he did. Imagine that, making a national holiday that's for everyone, not specific groups and communities. What a concept, huh? So quaint, so obsolete. For those of us who still celebrate Thanksgiving, what do we hope to get out of it? Abundance, fullness, full bellies, full hearts, a table surrounded by people we like and love. The entire holiday is about bounty and gratitude. That long, curved, cone-shaped basket, the cornucopia, the horn of plenty, we want that, but not just the fruits and nuts inside it. We want what it represents. A respite from the job, from the bills, the traffic, the struggles of life, as trifling as our struggles are compared to those pilgrims. The centerpiece of retro, authentic Thanksgiving was never really the turkey. It was the family. Mom and dad, some kids. If they were lucky, grandpa and grandma at the table, maybe some cousins or aunts and uncles. And they weren't sitting there in their sweatpants and wife beaters. Ladies wore dresses, men collared shirts. Dad is the head of the family, which is also a concept that's repulsive to ASCOs. Well, Dad may have actually worn a necktie. Think the way that Cass dressed in Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. An old movie, yes, but not that old. In old America, people liked to present the best versions of themselves they could muster. It wasn't about showing off or look what I got or making the neighbors jealous. It was about giving thanks and respect to someone that was not at the table but was surely the author of all that abundance. God. If you search around and read newer accounts of that first Thanksgiving, you will notice a subtle chunk of ASTCO propaganda. They downplay the whole concept of Thanksgiving, which has an undeniable spiritual foundation. The pilgrims were spiritual people. They fled Europe so they could freely practice their religion in the wilderness of North America. They were not giving thanks to the sun or the rain or the deities of the cornfields. They were thanking God, along with their Indian friends, for helping them survive a hellish year. If you read those newer accounts, the ASTCO writers say it really wasn't a Thanksgiving. It was more of a harvest festival. They paganize it. The true source of every Thanksgiving feast has been relegated to the trash heap along with the neckties and dresses and shined shoes. There may be something even deeper and more troubling about the diminution of Thanksgiving, and that would be the concept of thanks itself. Gratitude. Gratitude is what separates higher life forms and intellects from lower ones. Are ASTCOs ever grateful? They believe they are entitled to everything. If everything is owed them by the collective, then gratitude's irrelevant.
Pass the mashed potatoes, dude. I earned them just by being me.
Doubtless there are still folks who celebrate a traditional Thanksgiving. When I think back on some of mine, remarkably, last year's was a standout. We wanted to spend it with family back east, and since we'd become old hands at coast-to-coast drives, that's what we did. While blasting across the Mojave to Arizona, you could detect traces of autumn even in that empty desert. The winds rake the floor, and like herds of gazelle, tumbleweeds bounce across the roadbed. I didn't shoot my own video of it, but I'll post a link for one at thatlarryshow.com. It's wild. When you hit a tumbleweed, and you will, they disintegrate like some Hollywood special effect. A few years back, the wind buried the entire town of Victorville, California, in tumbleweed. It was like a blizzard. They had to call out the fire department because people's doors and driveways were blocked. Some years before that, after a particularly windy night, my own backyard was piled 6 feet high in tumbleweed. It's eerie. They're incredibly flammable and a major contributor to brush and forest fires, and they don't have a damn thing to do with climate change. Quick factoid, tumbleweed, considered as much a part of the American Southwest as cactus and cowboys, is actually an invader. It's from the Russian steppes and was brought by immigrants in their flax seeds in the late 1800s. So as we drove east, the chill and the look of autumn became more and more apparent, and it was beautiful. The sunsets weren't quite as vivid. The oranges toned down to peach with a hint of gray about them like some old dog's muzzle. In Flagstaff, at 7,000 feet, we broke out the winter coats. I had to scrape frost off the windshield before we left in the morning. As we shot through Texas and Oklahoma, the trees went from red to barren, and temperatures continued to drop as I-40 sluiced us through Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. Besides celebrating Thanksgiving, our travel was to attend a service for my mother-in-law, who had passed away in September. Due to pandemic lunacy, we couldn't all be together at that time. My brother-in-law hauled a smoker up from Maryland. We bought an ostrich-sized turkey. The sisters filled two shopping carts at the supermarket. One meal flowed into the next almost seamlessly. Well, of course they did. They're both half Italian. It went on like that for several days. We didn't have any Wampanoag guests, but we weren't too far from the original Thanksgiving. There was a weird anomaly at the shore. Vast schools of bunker fish came in. The surface of the water was boiling with them. Usually things like that happen for an hour or two, maybe a day at most. We grabbed rods and rigged them with treble hook lures and snagged fish on every cast, sometimes two at a time. It was insane. The water was literally carpeted with fish. We foul hooked them on the fins, gills, the tails. Not one lure was bitten. Fun fishing, but lousy eating. They're all bone, so it was catch and release. After a few days, the beach was littered with dead fish, and that was because they were so thick in the water, probably millions of them, that they depleted the oxygen supply. Crowds do suck. Each evening began with a feast, then a roaring fire, guitars, and bourbon. There was no television at the house, no Wi-Fi either. Cell service was spotty, but most everyone was having too much fun to bother with their phones. It was about as good as Thanksgiving could get. Nobody wore a necktie on Thursday because we knew we'd have to the following day. While the rest of the world headed for Black Friday sales, we gathered at a Catholic church where a priest with an Eastern European accent conducted a beautiful ceremony in honor of my wife's mom. His words were simple but uplifting, focusing on his rock-solid assurance that she was indeed in paradise, surrounded by loved ones who preceded her and awaiting those who would eventually join her. My nephew, who had always been her favorite, delivered a eulogy that loosened all our tear ducts, yet somehow he managed to keep himself together. It was the best I'd ever heard. After church, we had an early dinner at a restaurant and then returned to the house to take care of the final leg of the memorial. After a round of drinks, we headed for the beach. The skies were dark with a slash of twilight on the horizon. A stiff breeze raked Long Island Sound. We walked out on the longest jetty. The bunker fish had vanished. White caps whipped the surface. My wife and her sister scattered their mom's ashes over the sea. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the cycle of life. Back at the house, we again sat in front of the fire, but weren't as boisterous as the previous evenings. Maybe each of us were having long thoughts. I know I was. Their mom had cooked many a turkey for all of us. Christmas hams, Easter briskets, too. There had been a lot of laughs, minimal friction. In all, an exemplary family one could not ask for or imagine one better. A big takeaway from Thanksgiving that has been forgotten by millions and recognized by few is we are all pilgrims. We come to this world with nothing and a spark of divine creation. Birth is our first journey, and life, if we're lucky, is a continuous trip, whether a half a block away or halfway around the world. The turns we take and the choices we make are ours and ours alone. No one is ever exactly sure where those turns will lead, but without them, without exploration, life isn't life. Contrary to what deluded ASTCOs believe, we are neither guaranteed nor entitled to anything. Every day is a gift. Gifts that will eventually be rescinded by the giver. So it's probably a good idea to eat, drink, and be merry whenever possible, and take a moment to be thankful. As I'm thankful to you for once again hanging with me now. All of you who help me make this show a weekly adventure, those who listen and comment on social media, those who create fantastic artwork about the show and post it, those who write amazing letters and send clips and sound bites, those who graciously invite me to sit in on their podcasts, those who help me keep this going with their generous pledges and donations. When this show began 5 years ago, I never imagined I'd be blessed with friends all around the country and the world. It has exceeded my wildest expectations because of you. Thank you. I was drop-jawed to see a picture someone posted a few days ago. It was the word LUTFA. Perhaps a decal or maybe expertly hand-lettered, I don't know. It was done by a listener named Lady Get Over It. LUTFA. Loud and proud across the rear window of an SUV. Maybe that's the next phase of this show. Maybe it will spawn a movement. Back to freedom. Back to sanity. Back to the pilgrim spirit. Wouldn't that be cool? I'll post the LUTFA sign along with another amazing piece of artwork from the fine folks at the Behind the Schemes podcast, who just had me on their show a few days ago. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for those images and hundreds more episodes, including last year's Thanksgiving Survival Guide. That's in the November tab, of course. There you will find not only solid advice on navigating this Thanksgiving, but a live recording of a holiday Donnybrook. My friends, wherever you are this Thanksgiving, enjoy and God bless. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit and join the LUTFAs.